It is with great joy that we celebrate the Easter season, coming after the weeks of Lent, but most particularly coming after these last few days of Holy Week, the last couple of days of Triduum, Holy Thursday in the Garden of Gethsemane, Good Friday and our Lord's death on the cross, the silence of Holy Saturday. And now we enter into the joy of Easter. And certainly we want to kind of contemplate what sort of joy that can be. For me, I remember once during high school when I was on the wrestling team. And during a particularly difficult match, I don't know if you guys have ever been to a wrestling match, but it is loud. Very loud. Everyone is yelling and screaming and thumping and whatnot. And I'm wrestling, and I hear my father's voice, who he had a very loud voice. I don't know if you guys would ever have guessed that. But a very loud voice. And I can hear him coaching me from the sidelines. And I'm trying to do what he's doing, and I end up being victorious. And then I have to go, of course, you have to go to the center, and the ref raises your hand. And then, just to be polite, you're supposed to then go to the other team and shake that coach's hands. And then you're supposed to go, and you got to shake your own coach's. But my eyes, at that point, were only for my father. I had to go through all these other motions, but I wanted to see my father's face. I wanted to see his face, and I wanted to feel his arms embrace me in a massive hug. Because I was so happy that with his help, I had been able to accomplish this difficult match. I use this image to just capture just a little sense of what sort of searching for the Father's face, searching for the love of the Father that brings us to this church this morning. Usually our collects, those opening prayers, begin as this one did, where we address God the Father, and then we recall one or more of the great wondrous deeds that He has done, either in salvation history or in the lives of the saints. And the collect, but the collect, the opening prayer which we used these past few days during Triduum, during all of the hours of the sacred, of those few days preceding this feast, departed from the usual form. The prayer, rather than addressing God the Father and remembering what He has done, was a cry from the heart, a plea addressed to the Father, asking Him to look attentively at us, to fix His gaze upon us. It began, Respice, which can be translated, look upon us with solicitude, or to have a care for, or to consider us. The church, during the Easter Triduum, reflects the movements of man's hearts with that prayer that has but one desire. The church has been praying that she could be held in the Father's gaze. She begs the Father to look upon her steadily, lovingly, tenderly, and not to lose sight of her. All of Lent has been a preparation for this moment. All of Holy Week, we were invited to enter in and share in Jesus' very life, to unite ourselves to Him, to enter into His bitter passion. And certainly on Good Friday, we could reflect on the bitterness of His passion, the afflictions which He endured. We considered His heart desolate, grieved, and forsaken. And even in that moment, Jesus, true God made true man, dying on the cross for our sins, longed to see His Father's face. We remember the very beginning of creation, the first Adam, overwhelmed by his own sin, sought to hide from the Father's face. In Genesis, we would read, Adam and his wife hid themselves in the garden among the trees. And the Lord God called to Adam, Where are you? He asked. I heard your voice, Adam said, in the garden, and I was ashamed because I was naked. So I hid myself. I hear those words in light of what I felt on that wrestling match. And I see I was not ashamed. I was eager to find the Father's face. But Adam, who has fallen from grace, who has sinned against his Father, God, is ashamed and he's seeking to hide. Seeking to hide from the one who created him, the one who loved him. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, stripped and naked, lifted high on the cross, seeks the Father's gaze. And in the hour of his sacrifice, cries out to the Father in the supreme act of confidence. We could hear it in Luke's gospel. It said, "It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in the midst. And Jesus said, crying out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I long to see your face.'" It may be very well that the grace of this Easter, of this sacred Paschal Triduum, which we are celebrating today, may be the grace for each of us in our hearts to long to see the Father's face, to make that act of hope by which, even if we find ourselves in the darkness of life, even if we find ourselves beset by trials and tribulation, to discover in the midst of our sufferings the will of God, that He desires to fix His gaze upon us with an infinite pity. There are so many sufferings in this world, so many sufferings which you and I bring to this church this day. The sufferings that we hear of out in the world, but also the sufferings that are hidden in our own hearts. And we bring them into this church today because we long to see the face of God. We are like those two disciples whom we heard of, or three disciples whom we heard of, Mary and Peter and John. We come running to church so early in the morning to see what? To see Jesus. We come here to see Jesus. There's a little detail in the gospel which so many of us might not even pick up on, but I think there's something beautiful that's trying to be stated. It said there was the one burial cloth, the largest cloth, all over there in a pile, but then rolled up neatly, the face cloth. Now, in Middle Eastern customs, when you were reclining at table, everybody would have a napkin, which was very important because everything was eaten by hand, right? And you might want to wipe your hand at some points. Everybody would have their napkin. But what if you had to get up and leave the table for some purpose? You would get up and you would roll your napkin up neatly, or you would fold it up very neatly. And then you could go about your business. But knowing that it was all so nice and neat was a way that you would tell your guests, your fellow diners, "I'm coming back. Save this spot." Now, if you were done and you were leaving, you could just toss the napkin into the pile. "I'm done. I'm out." Throw in the towel, as we say. But no. Rolled up nice and neatly says, "I'm coming back." The church keeps this image. Peter, it says, goes in and he sees the cloth wrapped up so nice and neatly. In a few moments, there will be a cloth, the corporal, wrapped up so nice and neatly, which will be carefully unfolded on this altar. Because Jesus is coming back. And you who long to see His face, you will see Him. In a few moments, right here, on this altar, as He comes down from heaven, true body, true blood, true soul, all that He is, His divinity, on this altar in the Eucharist. Now Saint John Paul II spoke about this in his encyclical from 2003, Ecclesiae de Eucharistia, the Church of the Eucharist. He spoke of the Eucharist using the phrase, the Eucharistic face of Christ. And on Holy Thursday of 2003, when he wrote this, he said, "I cannot let this Holy Thursday pass without halting before the Eucharistic face of Christ, and pointing out with new force to the Church the centrality of the Eucharist. From the Eucharist, the Church draws her life. From this living bread, she draws her nourishment. How could I not fear the need to urge everyone to experience it ever new?" My brothers and sisters, the most holy sacrament of the altar is the divine person of Jesus Christ in his eternal contemplation of the Father. As John tells us in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was seeking to give himself in communion to men. We heard on Holy Thursday Jesus say, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." The most holy sacrament, the Eucharist, is, in some sense, the face of Christ wrapped up in contemplation of his Father, and at the same time, burning with desire to give himself in communion to us, so that we too can be wrapped up into contemplation of the Father's face. The sacred host is the sacramental face of the Lamb once slain who lives to die no more. The face that will be revealed, as we heard in the second reading, at the end of time, at the close of the age, when all of the veils will be ripped in two, and God will appear a second time in human history. And you and I and all those who believe will be granted a glimpse of the Father's face in that perfect beatific vision, that vision of perfect bliss, happiness, joy, and peace. Looking at our Father's face, looking at Him who created us, who loves us, who has redeemed us, and who desires to spend eternity with us. I think of this, and I think of what St. Thomas Aquinas wrote concerning the Eucharist in his Adoro Te Devote. "Jesus, here thy face is hid, from my sight concealed. How I thirst to meet thy gaze gloriously revealed. After life's obscurity, let me wake to see beauty shining from thy face for eternity." On this Easter, let us celebrate the fact that the God, the Creator of the universe, who sent His Son to die for us, who rose victorious from the grave, now sits at the right hand of God the Father. In that triumphant look of love, the Father looking at the Son looking at the Father, the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son. And also, at that same moment, because Jesus is our brother, because He is our fellow man, you and I are also in some miraculous way already up there in heaven, beholding our Father's face. Let us relish that love which He desires to pour into our hearts this day.